So what people don't tell you is that the best thing about being a minister is on occasions like this, I get to see everybody's faces. So you'll have to just trust me. Y'all are just, oh my gosh, I used y'all. I've been in Texas for a day. But you all are just beautiful. And I can't help but think of that old ancient Hebrew blessing where the Lord lifts their countenance, because I see here the holy, for I believe in our tradition the holy is always just as we are here, both singular and plural. And what a beautiful but also unlikely thing that we should be gathered here like this. For one, it is miracle enough that we survived to this moment. But think of all of the separate lives we've come from and the many things that might have prevented us from gathering together in this moment. But this gathering itself, it is a special revelation. It is only what it could be. It could only be this day. It could only be Emily's installation as your settled minister. When I think about the power of this singular plural, there's a Persian tale from the 13th century that I like very much that helps express this. And so I need you to imagine deeply that the birds are in a time of economic struggle, and the birds are in a time where it's time to elect a new leader, and they have concerns about their choices. Hard to put yourself back into that 13th century Persia, right? It's so hard to relate to. And so the birds in their distress, they've gathered and they've realized they don't have anybody that they can elect. What will they do? So they decide to consult King Solomon's own bird, the hoopoe, who, according to legend, whispered many of the wise things that Solomon said into his ear. So they consult the hoopoe, and the hoopoe says, "Fear not, I know of the leader you seek. There is a bird who can be all you need him to be. His name is the Simbird, and he is golden, and he is magnificent, and he is wise, and you can seek him in the lands of the Far East." So the birds quickly decide that they should take this journey to find this magnificent golden leader. But when it comes time to find volunteers to actually take the trip, each bird, one by one, declines to go. The hawk says, "Why should I go? I'm a friend of powerful men and generals. Why should I surrender the power I have for this kind of uncertainty?" The duck says, "Why should I go? I require water to survive. Here I know where my sources are. How could I survive that kind of uncertainty of a journey?" And peacock says, "I know I'm a kept bird, but I am kept in beauty." So one by one, each of the birds declines, but then the wise hoopoe consults each bird individually, and in their own language, he gives them the same message. He tells them that a life lived deeply, that a life chosen in and through love is never easy, but that it's always better. He says, "So why would you surrender a little piece of dew when you could have the ocean itself? Or why would you settle for a mote of dust in the sunbeam when you could be the sun?" So the birds decide to go, and they begin their harsh journey. And birds are lost along the way. But eventually they do make it to that far eastern land where they've been promised to find this golden, magnificent bird that will save them. So they get to that land and they look high and low. They can find no trace. They can find no golden feathers. They can't even find local birds who have seen this magnificent bird. So they decide that their journey has been for naught. And so in grief, as the sun is going down, they gather on the shore of the lake to decide what to do next. So the sun is setting on the lake, and it's casting a golden reflection onto the lake, and the birds are all assembled there along the beach. And when they look into the sun and when they look upon the lake, they see the bird for which they have been looking. They see Simberg, the magnificent golden leader, in their own reflection as a singular, plural entity brought together by that very journey that was so difficult. And actually, in Persian, Simberg is actually a little bit of a pun for 30 birds. So, boy, these are difficult times. And yet, what amazing power there is in beings who are willing to see the holy in each other and take some risks and love a little more. I suppose we've all had our own moments where we felt that things were going in a direction that just was not okay. For me, it was a small and a very large thing that kind of nudged my conscience. It was actually a robbery near my home at a mini mart, a gas station mini mart. This happened actually about exactly a year ago, and it was just the teeniest little notice in the paper. I almost didn't even read it. And the story couldn't have been more common. A man stopped at the gas station mini mart. He took a six-pack of beer, and then he was fleeing towards his car with his back to the mini-mart when someone with a concealed handgun permit actually shot him in the back as he was fleeing with the six-pack of beer. What amazed me about this was not only that, but the final sentence of the newspaper article, which explained that the police responded by simply taking the man who had shot the gun, taking the gun away from him, and sending him home. We live in a world where you can attempt murder at the Speedway mini mart and be home in time for dinner, but I'm sure the only reason this story struck me as hard as it did is I remembered exactly the last time I brought gas at that particular station. But first I should just tell you a little bit about what it's like to buy gas inside of my personal identity, okay? So I'm a female-identified middle-class white person who drives an aged Prius. When I buy gas, no one sees a thing. You know how they have all those Facebook quizzes about what your magic power is? Oh, I know my magic power. I'm invisible. You know, and in retail stores, my power just reaches an unbelievable height. You know, there I am. I whisk in. 8 gallons of unleaded are gone, and no one has seen one blessed thing. But it's not that way for everyone. That story about the Speedway Mini Mart really struck me because the last time I had gone to that gas station, it was on my way to meet my friend Sheikh Tahir Watt, a brown man who dresses in Islamic garb. And I couldn't get out of my head what would have happened if the gun, the gas station, the Mini Mart, I and Sheikh Tahir had all been part of the same equation. I don't know what would have happened, but I'm sure all of us would not have been home in time for dinner. So I should tell you just a teeny bit about my friend Sheikh Tahir Watt. He's the English language imam at the Prophet's Mosque in Medina, Saudi Arabia. He is here, and he was here to visit me because, get this, he is studying Unitarian Universalist history. I actually think it's possible that the person right now alive in the world who knows the most about Unitarian Universalist history is a sheikh in Saudi Arabia. The depth of his learning is just amazing. So why is Tahir studying Unitarian Universalist history? Because he is so concerned that the radicalization of Islam happens when Americans in particular are ignorant about Islam. And so he wants to teach the peace-giving message of his faith. But he's concerned that America is not ready to listen to a brown man from the Middle East to give this message. So friends, he's hoping that we will be the bridge. Wow. So I tell you this story only because I want you to know that there are more people waiting for Unitarian Universalism than we will ever know. There are more people who need our message and our action more than we will ever realize. And I don't know your local setting enough to know exactly what form that ministry might take here, but I know the world needs it. The world is waiting for us to take this great, big, giant, magnificent, golden bird of Unitarian Universalism and get it off the ground. So what will this take? Well, it takes a congregation. It takes a singular plural. And inside of that singular plural, there are different jobs, though, right? So in the story I told you, there are different birds with different attributes who do different things. So Emily's her own kind of bird in this story. Emily, as your chosen minister, she in some ways is our friend the hoopoo. She is your pastor. She is there to whisper into your ear when you are frightened that truth, that choosing love is not always difficult, but it is better. She is there to remind you of that as you take whatever journey lies ahead for you, individually and collectively. And also, Emily is a bird who is made an expert in reflective surfaces, right? So what the bird story took was for there to be some way to reflect back to people how beautiful they looked as a collective body. Emily knows all about those sources. She's got the wisdom of the world's traditions that help us do that. She has her own living history as Unitarian Universalist. She even can, if she needs to, she might suggest y'all go down to the lake and look into the waters. She has as a resource a knowledge of our polity, which gives shared power to this collective entity that we are. So these are all gifts that she brings. And even, this is another little truth about ministry. Even if that reflective surface, if that mirror gets kind of fogged up because we're having a lot of kind of hot and heavy conversation, Emily's got some Windex and some wipes, I promise. So you're so lucky, because Emily is just great with all of that. She is great with the whispering the message of courage and love in the ear, and she's great with the wisdom of reflection. But guess what? This is going to take all of you. Today, it's not just Emily that makes a vow. We each make and renew our own vows. The fact of the matter is that as Unitarian Universalists, finally we believe that the most basic and primary religious vocation is something that belongs to each and every one of us. The times themselves lay the hand of religious vocation on each of us. So, this will require you to stand close enough together and with each other enough that we can recognize you as a body when the world is looking at you and when you're looking into that reflective surface. This is going to require that you too manifest a willingness to see the holiness in Emily and in each other and in what you can be together. The journey will take all of you. But I'm truly excited to be here to bless this first beginning step because I know it's going to be absolutely magnificent. You're going to be so much huger, so much more golden, and so much more magnificent than you ever imagined.